Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, and I'll give you a little rundown about missions out of the book of Acts. Well, we start chapter 8, and I want us to look at starting with verse 4, talking about the church under persecution. Paul the Apostle was a persecutor of the church, and he was called Saul of Tarsus, till God changed his name. And the Bible says in verse 4, "Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Philip was an ordained deacon in the church. We call them deacons, ordained preacher, evangelist in the church. In the Bible, there's no mention of missionary. It's evangelist. Right. Now, we ought to all of us be missionaries. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that word, but Philip was an evangelist. And he went down to start a church in Samaria, kind of offbeat on the other side of the tracks kind of neighborhood. And he started preaching. And soon as he started preaching and people were being saved, the church at Jerusalem that ordained him heard about it, and they sent down Peter and John to disciple them, the people, and to help them go along in the faith. And that's what happened there. Now, God speaks to Philip and takes him out of Samaria and takes him down to Gaza. If you've ever been in Gaza, you know that that's not a really nice place to be, and it's never been improved since his day, I don't think. But he left that nice circle of friends and convenience and the success of the ministry to go down to Gaza because of one man. And the Bible says here, and you can read it, and I hope that you will read this, okay? It says that when he got down there, Philip sees a man in a chariot who's an Ethiopian, and he was a treasurer. He's in charge of all the treasure of the queen of Ethiopia. And God says, go join yourself to that chariot. And he did, and an Ethiopian got saved. And you, as I said, now you read this, because I want to give you an outline here in a minute. And he got saved, and then he got baptized, and Philip was taken away from there, and he preached in town after town and town after town until he got to Caesarea. But the Ethiopian went back to Ethiopia. But that was a good event there in the establishment of that church and the evangelism of preaching the gospel to the lost people. Now, what I want you to notice is what really made Philip tick. What really did he do that we look at as one of the first successes of expansion of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And of course, it was in Samaria, part of what we call Palestine today. And he went and joined himself that chariot. A lot of things I like about him. Okay, I'm going to give you a little outline. First of all, he was led by the Spirit of God. God came to him and told him to do these things, and he did them. I like that. Amen. I mean, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody said, you know, Brother Clayton, God's never called me to do anything. I say, well, are you in calling distance? Yeah. If he'd call you, would you know his voice? Would you know him? Would you yield to God's call? And I believe God does call people, and I believe he called Philip, and he was sensitive to it. And that the Holy Spirit of God led him. When God says, I want you to get out of this nice, comfortable place you're in and go to Gaza, he did it because the Spirit of God led him. He was led by the Spirit of God. And then he was led by a holy zeal. He was very zealous. I like him. God says, join yourself to the chariot, and he's running out there. He took off running. I think about him with the heel of his sandals kicking up little dust storms as he ran out there. Anyhow, he was zealous of good works. Amen. We need to have some zeal and excitement and energy put into the work of the Lord. I like that word energy. I like the word excitement. Amen. I like the word enterprise. That's a good word. That's being able to apply important things to even doubtful situations. That's kind of you can look it up in the dictionary. Enterprise. I mean, there was a lot of effort went into what he did. He was zealous of good works. The Bible says, be zealous of good works. It says of Jesus that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up in Psalms 69:9. Jesus was zealous. And boy, you look at his life and everything, he was zealous of good works. He was led also by the Holy Scriptures. He knew to take that Bible that Ethiopian was studying out of and lead him to Christ. Amen. Know the book. Get in the book and know it. Boy, I just say this again, but your pastor has one of the best knowledges of the book of anybody in the country. And I thank God for that. I appreciate that. I wish that I was smarter, and that I could know the Bible much better than I do. But it's the book. And then he had in his life no idols to keep him back from doing the work that God did have him do. Okay, now kind of a idea of evangelism. Okay. Evangelism should be done through the local church. That's what Philip did. And it should be for the purpose of establishing local churches. And that's what Philip did. He established a church there. It should be supported by local churches. I operate out of the Cleveland Baptist Church. We have since 1964. And a great church, and we don't intend to change because God put us there. And Pastor Folger is my pastor, and I'm constantly in contact with him. I want to do what I do biblically, and if you do that, you have to do it through the church. It ought to be supported by local churches. You can find that in the study of Paul's ministry. He was supported by local churches and raised money for the purpose of building churches. I'm in constant work in raising money for God. Amen. I don't keep it for myself. I don't even want it. There's too much responsibility having a lot of money. And I don't want that responsibility. I just want to be able to be free and preach and all that. But I do raise a lot of money. Amen. And we have just had given to us in New York City a building that the land assessor said was worth $6.5 million. It just came to us. I mean, not just to me, but to our team. And we have a definite team, and the leader is Pastor Montoro, who used to travel with me, and he's more like a son than he is a friend. And this building, we've raised the money now. My last report was about $300,000. We raised for the purpose of getting that old building, which is the oldest church building in New York City. It was called the First Baptist Church of Brooklyn. Get that thing in shape. The inspector went out to look at it, and he was walking around, and a brick fell off the top and almost hit him in the head. Well, you imagine what we had to put up with from then on. Them inspectors can be bad, let me tell you. But we followed everything. God gave us the money. Now, just a week before last, they finally moved in to one section of that building. We're going to have to do a lot more to it. But what I'm saying is, we're establishing a church there. And that church then will support other churches and support missionaries until Jesus comes, amen, we hope. Amen. And I look back at the first one we did there, far as the building is concerned, was Pastor Montoro's church, which was a Jewish synagogue that we bought for $760,000. Then we had to put a lot of money in it. And God gave us that building, and with that, except for about $50,000, which they had to borrow to get to pay it off, gave us all that money cash. Now, God's able to do that kind of a thing.
Amen.
And now that's our ministry in our lives. That doesn't mean that you'll do the same thing. But God is able to do it through you to the level that God chooses to. And hey, be willing. And do it through the church. Stay faithful in the church.
Amen.
Raise your kids in the church. Love the church. And love the preaching. Love the singing. Love all the things about the church. Love giving to the church. And let your kids on Sunday morning or on Saturday night, whatever, get the kids around the table and lay out all your money. Lay it all out there. Say, okay, now this is a tithe right there. That goes to the church. This here is a mission giving that we're going to give to missions. Now, we're going to use this money to pay the bills, the mortgage on the house, the food. Lay it out for your kids. Let them see what the money is. And be faithful to God in that.
Amen.
Well, I can tell you a lot of stories about that. But God will bless you if you're faithful to the Lord with that. And we're facing a lot of trouble and trial in this world right now. And the insecurities, we're following leaders sometimes that don't know where they're going. But thank God, Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
He's on the throne in our hearts. He's on the throne in this church. He's on the throne in the mission work. In one sense of the word, we're doing greater mission work right now than we've ever done before. We talk about, where did the revival go in America? Well, we still have an area of revival, but in the rest of the world, I mean, millions of people are getting saved.
Amen.
And good things are happening. I preached 18,000 people on Sunday morning in Manila, Philippines. And then that night I went to another church and preached 5,000. I mean, great revivals are happening.
Amen.
And we thank God for that. Let's be positive. Let's be sincere. And let's be available.
Amen.
Philip was available to God. And since he was available, God used him. And God wants to use us in this particular time. So I'd encourage you, keep on the firing line. Amen?
Amen.
Stay right in there. Load up your gun, your gospel gun, and keep her going. Amen?
Amen?
God bless you for that. I thank God for the opportunity of being here today. And I just want to say that if we follow God's plan, God's blessing will be ours.
Amen.
If we follow God's plan, all the success that God wants us to have, He'll give us. And after all, that's all we need. Amen.
Yes, sir.
One old boy said, God is on the throne, and that's all I need.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. I don't know if you have been affected by what has been said and sung and played here this morning. If God has dealt with your heart about something, maybe you came to church today with something that's in your heart. Maybe you didn't even tell anybody about it. It may have been there now for months or days or even years. And you say, Brother Clayton, I have something I want you to pray about. Please pray for me this morning. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because God will see your hand while I pray. Slip up your hand. Would you hold it up? Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. I got something I need in my heart. All right? One other thing. How many here today would say, preacher, I've got somebody that's important to me, very important. Please pray for that person too. Would you hold it up? All right. God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless in every way these hands have been raised. Lord, they raise their hands to you, not to me. And I know that you saw every hand. And I pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts. And for the need in their heart, Lord, I pray, God, today that you'd minister to them. May the Holy Spirit of God come down and work in their lives. And put everything together for them, Lord. Just tie it up and put it together for them. I know that you can do that, and I pray for that. And for those, Lord, that have asked me to pray for their loved ones, I pray for them today, their friends and loved ones, wherever they are, whatever they're doing. Lord, I pray right now that you'd speak to their hearts. Please tell that friend and loved one that we love them. And Jesus does too. I ask in Jesus' name today. Amen.